What's the difference in a legalistic church and a church that practices church discipline? That incredibly interesting concept is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this show. Today, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can send us a question at radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to do our best to answer them. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss this interesting question. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we have a question. We're taking questions today. Here's a question from Eileen. And Eileen says, what is the difference between a church that is disciplined and a church that is legalistic? And how can I recognize legalism in a church?
A church that is disciplined and a church that is legalistic.
So let's say a church that exercises maybe church discipline, or a church that says, listen, we're not going to be worldly.
They have some kind of requirement.
Something.
But they're not legalistic.
Right. Is there a difference between the two? Because presumably churches, we need to, not a whole lot of churches exercise church discipline.
Okay, let's describe this. A legalistic church would be a church that, well, there's different types of legalism, but one type of legalism would be a church that sets up extra-biblical rules.
Okay, so now there are rules, right?
Right.
The New Testament does have these commands.
Right.
But if they're making up rules, that would be legalism. So let's say, what would be an example of that? I know I've been in a church that said men are not allowed to have beards.
That would be a problem for you today.
That would be a problem for me today, because I have a beard today. But there's nothing in the Bible, the New Testament, that says beards are wrong or beards are sinful or whatever.
Actually, beards are normal. A non-beard is abnormal in the
Bible.
Right,
because they didn't have, like, Gillette Mach 3 razors back
then. But even if they did, beards were part of the experience of the Jewish culture.
Right.
And certainly, even the Gentile culture of the first century,
right,
most people wore beards.
So for a church today to say men are not allowed to wear beards, this is our requirement, that would be a form of legalism. Because why?
Well, because it's not taught in Scripture.
Okay.
If you said men can't have beards or facial hair, that would be wrong. Or if you said that women can't wear makeup or women can't wear jewelry. I mean, there are some churches believe can't even wear a wedding ring.
Right.
No jewelry of any kind.
Right.
Or buttons.
So one form of legalism is to have these man-made rules. And it's kind of like the way the Pharisees had their own traditions and their own rules that they added on top of the law of Moses, right?
Right, right, exactly. And that all is dangerous and problematic.
So why is it dangerous?
Well, it's dangerous because now what you're doing is setting up a situation where if people keep these rules, they think they're okay with God. Even though they may be like the Pharisees that look good on the outside, but on the inside, they were hateful people. They were jealous people.
Right.
They were people who were taking advantage of the poor, people who were giving these long prayers so they might impress others with how pious they were.
Right.
So they were kind of self-righteous. You know, the internal issues are the big issues in the Bible,
right,
and not the externals, although externals are important. But that's one type of legalism where you've got extra-biblical. Another type of legalism is where your standards are always the Bible, but you're not basing spirituality, focusing on Christ and loving Christ. Instead, spirituality is judged based on these externals.
Okay,
and so even though they're biblical externals,
okay,
they're still the externals. And so you would say, I heard so-and-so cuss, so so-and-so must not be a spiritual person. Or maybe they said something, you know, they committed some sin. They were angry, and I saw them get angry, so they're not spiritual.
Well, I have a friend, he called me up one day, and he was so distraught. He was very distraught. And I was like, what's going on? And he says, it's my son. It's my son. He borrowed the van. And I was like, okay, really? Okay, well, what happened? And he says, Sean, I just don't know what to say. After he brought it back home, I went into the van, and when I turned it on, rock music was playing. He listened to the rock station. I taught my son better than this, than to listen to the rock and roll station. And I said, no, I thought you were going to tell me something horrible.
Yeah, you found dead bodies
someone.
In the back of the van.
He was with his girlfriend. I was like, if the worst thing that he's doing is he has it to the, you know, the rock and roll station, I think you're doing all right. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't listen to rock and roll.
However, I don't want to listen to the rock and roll myself, but
right,
that's
maybe,
different.
Maybe
unless
I
it
prefer
was
something
from
else.
The 60s or 70s where some of that was
I don't know.
Kind
you,
of tame
you,
compared
you
to
you guys from the 60s and 70s, though, you had a lot of hidden messages in there.
See, I don't know. They said Lucy in the Sky.
Yeah, that's
with
not about Lucy.
Is that LSD?
Yeah,
I don't
she's
know.
Not wearing diamonds. That's
okay.
Like something else.
All right. Well, I don't know. I didn't even follow the Beatles. I mean, I barely knew any of their songs.
But anyways, that would be an external, like being worried about what radio channel someone is listening to instead of being worried about, does my kid love Jesus?
But the other part of it is, we know from Romans 7 that if I'm focusing on the commandments, that actually produces sin.
Right.
I need to focus on Christ. So if you're in a church that's all caught up into the commandments and their whole focus is on the commandments and what you hear in the teaching is, don't do this, do this. Let's have a whole list of them and let's go. And they're not promoting love of Jesus. They're
right.
not promoting focusing on Jesus.
Okay.
That sort of church is a bad church.
Okay, so I see what you're saying now. So let me put it this way. Another type of legalism is when it's focused on rule-following spirituality rather than a Christ-centered or truth-centered spirituality.
Right. It's not that we don't know the commandments, and it's not that we don't tell people, hey, this is wrong. But what we tell them, the way to avoid these things and the way to do the right things is by focusing on Christ and loving him. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind.
Right.
We need the scriptures to change our mindset so that our life is transformed. And that's the right mindset. So I would say a church that practices discipline is fine, but it always needs to be centered around Christ.
Right. Here's a third form of legalism that I can
okay.
think of at
least. All right.
Some churches teach that the Mosaic Law, or at least parts of it, still apply today.
Right.
Like Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
We got to worship on Saturday, and you got to eat basically kosher.
They're Sabbatarian,
they're
and
Sabbatarian.
They follow the dietary laws.
There's
yeah.
some Messianic Jewish congregations that are like, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep these basics.
Right.
The Mosaic Law is still for today. Would you agree that that is another form of legalism?
That is a form of legalism, but it somewhat depends on, to some degree, are they looking to those things for their spirituality?
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, a person could have some extra biblical rules or some biblical rules, but that are not enforced today.
Yeah.
And yet still not be legalistic. In other words, they might say, I know the way I please God is by looking to Christ and by loving him, but they have some wrong things like worshiping on the Sabbath, for
well,
example.
Well, let's say that's required. You have to worship on Saturday. You have to eat kosher.
In order to please
just, that's
God?
Just what, yeah, that's what God commands today.
Yeah, I would say most likely if you go there, you're on a path that's going to lead you away from fellowship with God. And of course, most of these people who hold those views also believe in some form of work salvation.
Well, so that's the fourth kind of legalism I was thinking of.
Okay.
Legalism where any type of work at all is added to faith as a co-condition to be born again.
Right, and that's the worst kind.
That's the worst kind.
Because that keeps you from being born again.
Yeah, that's an eternal destiny issue.
Right.
And there's lots of churches that are legalistic in that explicit works salvation
right.
sense.
Now, we might point out, though, Sean, our view is if a person has ever believed that by faith in Jesus they have everlasting life and can never lose it, then they remain born again forever, even if later they believe in work salvation.
Right.
So a person in a church like that may not be on the way to eternal condemnation if they've believed in the past. But if they've never believed the simple promise of eternal life, then they're not yet born again, even though they're very religious.
Right.
And there are a lot of very religious people who sadly are like the Pharisees
yeah.
or the Sadducees.
Okay, so how do you recognize legalism in the church? There's at least four ways. One, are they enforcing a bunch of man-made rules as if your relationship with God depends upon
right.
it? Two, are they using biblical rules but making those rules the focus of their spirituality instead of Christ in his word?
Right.
Three, possibly saying the Mosaic Law is enforced for the church, maybe might be a form of
legalism. Because you're saying certain things are in force today which are not.
Right. And then fourth, and most seriously, legalism is whenever someone adds any type of work to the condition of salvation. If they say you need to be circumcised, well, that's the issue in Galatians. Or if they say you have to be a good person, or you have to stop drinking, or you have to leave your girlfriend plus believe in order to be saved, or you have to repent of your sins. Or there's lots of ways that work salvation can manifest itself.
Right.
Okay, but now, so we've answered that question, but now how can a church exercise discipline without falling into legalism?
Well, first of all, they're constantly proclaiming the free gift of everlasting life. And they're saying, if you simply believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. Secondly, they're pointing people to Christ as the focus of our sanctification, right? So they're always pointing people to Jesus and wanting them to fall more and more in love with Jesus. Mm. And third, when they do talk about don't do these things, or God says these are the things we should do these things, we always couch that within the framework of, but of course, that's not how we're born again.
Right.
And that's also not how we grow in the Christian life. It's by the Word of God changing our thinking and falling more in love with Christ. And when we do exercise church discipline, like if there's a person in the church who is in rebellion and they're not, they give no evidence of repentance of any kind.
Right.
Let's say a man has left his wife and he's living with some other woman. And he's in our church, and he comes to church, and he's a regular attender, and he thinks he can do that. Well, first of all, he would be confronted by someone in the assembly that knows him. Then he would meet with several of the elders, and they would give him a certain amount of time to repent.
Right.
And if he doesn't do that, then he would be brought before the elder board. And if he still doesn't repent, they would say, you're no longer welcome to come to the worship service until you repent of this.
Right.
That would not be legalistic.
Right.
It would be reminding him, look, we know you're born again because you believe in Jesus, but this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah.
But we're praying for you, and you would continue to pray for him. And if he came back, you'd be like the prodigal son. You'd be hugging him.
Right.
You'd be glad to have him back. That's how you handle the grace response.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Bob, and thank you for the questions. Please keep sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. I'm very glad that it's Friday. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.